Going to look at Matthew chapter 5, and we're really just going to look at one or two verses. I kind of, because I knew I would talk about camp, and I knew that maybe the opening would go a little longer, so I figured, you know what, I'll kind of frame this more as a devotion than maybe like what the normal sermons we're used to, where it's 30 minutes of covering a passage of Scripture. So we're going to look at Matthew chapter 5. The reason we're looking at Matthew chapter 5 is I think that this verse that we're going to look at this morning really does cover well what we're trying to do at camp. And it should cover well what we're trying to do just as Christians, as followers of Jesus here in our community. Also, I have been listening to a podcast on the Sermon on the Mount. I've really enjoyed it. It's by the Bible Project. I think I recommended it last time I spoke. I'm recommending it again. I think it's that good. If you have time, absolutely listen to it. So I've been in the Sermon on the Mount a lot, and this verse just kind of stuck out in my head. So we're going to look at Matthew chapter 5. We're going to pick it up at verse 13, but really I just want to break down verse 16 for us here this morning. Starting at verse 13, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." So three things, really, I just want to look at in this last verse, verse 16. "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." The three categories I've written down is light, our witness, and His glory. But before we do that, let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this time we have together this morning. God, I thank you that we can highlight a ministry like camp because you, Lord, are in control, and you have a plan for camp, so camp is a place that still operates because you still have a use for it. And God, we recognize that, we acknowledge that. We recognize that here this morning, as we look into your word, that this is your word. And God, I just pray that you would give us open hearts and open ears to hear what you have to say to us this morning. We thank you for your love, and we thank you for your Son. It's in His name we pray. Amen. So first, in the same way, let your light shine before others. So we read in the same way in this verse, and we look back to the two examples that Jesus gave in verse 14 and 15. There's this town on a hill that cannot be hidden, and the lamp that is out on its stand and gives light to everyone in the house. And he says, you don't take this lamp and cover it. No, you let it shine so it gives light to everyone in the house. For those of you who have heard me speak before, have heard me talk about camp, there's two things. There's a lot of things I love about camp, but the two things that I really, really get excited about as far as creation goes at camp is the night sky and thunderstorms. Nothing beats camp when there's no moon out and the stars are just shining bright. And I've gone before, especially in June, when maybe there's not a lot of people there at night, and I'll shut off all the lights and I'll just sit there and look at the stars and just be amazed and in awe and in wonder of the beauty of God's creation that's just right out above us for us to see. There's one night in particular, you could see the Andromeda Galaxy just with your naked eye, which is, again, amazing to think that there's a whole other galaxy, and that's just one of really countless, that God spoke into existence. We look at, in the telescope often at camp, we'll see Jupiter and Saturn and Mars, and one of my favorite things is when a camper or a school trip kid or whatever goes up to the telescope, looks through the scope, and there's this kind of moment of like, okay, they're not seeing it, and then there's like, whoa, I can see the rings, and then you're like, yeah, you see Saturn. And just that like astonishment that people have at God's creation, again, He just spoke it into existence. The other thing that I love is thunderstorms. When a good thunderstorm rolls through camp, like the ones that like the thunder cracks and it shakes your cabin, like I love those ones. Kids, not so much. I love them. I love them, and I love what I do is I just sit out on the chapel deck because it's covered, and you can just see it rolling in on the lake, and it's just phenomenal to watch, to see the power that is just in God's hand as you see this storm rolling through. There was quite a few times at camp where I'll have a cabin out with the telescope. And if you know anything about stargazing, you know you want to get in the dark and then you got to let your eyes adjust. Well, there's always some person who comes back with their bright flashlight, shines it right at you, say, hey, what's going on here? And then your like night vision's destroyed for a couple minutes. You yell at them to turn off the flashlight and then you go on from there. There's another time at camp, and this is when I was a staff kid. My dad was there as the manager. It was youth camp. And there was like close to a tornado that had rolled through earlier in the day. And I have a vague recollection of this man from the Ministry of Environment in a bright yellow slicker who came in that evening and told the whole camp that another storm like this could roll through. And if it does, the bell will ring and you all head down to the chapel, because at that time they deemed the chapel to be the safest place for you to be. So I remember waking up in the middle of the night, 2-3 in the morning, I don't know what time it was, and there was this massive thunderstorm outside. I was a kid, so I wasn't as enthralled by them. I was more scared. My dad was the manager. I remember looking over and he wasn't there. And I thought, oh no, did I miss the bell? Are there people in the chapel and I'm just stuck up here? And this was before we renovated our staff cabin, so you felt like if somebody blew on it the wrong way, it would fall over. So I was kind of sitting there in my bed scared, and I was ready to go down to the chapel, but I couldn't find a flashlight. And even though I was very familiar with that staff cabin trail, I wasn't willing to go out in the dark without that flashlight because I wanted to be able to see where I was going. Turns out, the next morning I found out my dad was just playing euchre in the dining hall, which really I should have expected, and I'd probably do the same thing with my own kids now. It runs in the family. But the point of those stories is this. In both cases, if I had that flashlight, I would have gone down, I'm sure, to the chapel just to see if anyone else was there or to find where everybody was. But in both cases, I think it gives us a good example of light cutting through the darkness. Watching stars, you're watching them, the light comes up and it cuts right through the darkness. As I want to go down that very familiar cabin trail, that staff cabin trail that I had probably run down 100 times that week, I needed that light to cut through the darkness of the night. Our message as Christians, as followers of Jesus, our message of hope, the hope that we have in the gospel, the truth that we can hold on to, that our eternity is secure and our God is in control, that reality is absolutely light that can cut through any sort of darkness that we see, that we experience here on this earth. So I think when Jesus tells his followers, his disciples, that in the same way, let your light shine before others, as a church, as followers of him, how are we letting our light shine before others? Are we speaking hope into the lives of our family, our neighbors, our coworkers, our peers, whatever it might be, who don't know the hope of Jesus, who are living in that darkness? Because we do have this light, we know this light, and this light is Jesus, and we have him. And we can cut through that darkness with that light. The second thing I want to talk about is our witness, that they may see your good deeds. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds. Now, every example I have in this message is obviously going to be from camp, but when I think of this witness of people, I think of some really solid people who I've met at camp. Some really solid people and three very different people. First I want to mention is Don Robert. So Don is a guy, if you go to camp, often in the summer. You may have been there every summer, you wouldn't know who he was. Because he goes in June, and he crawls under cabins, and he does all the dirty work that nobody else wants to do. He'll work on the septic tanks, he'll work on the broken toilets, all those things that can, you know, people aren't maybe jumping at the bit to do. Don will be there and he'll do it. He's retired, but not really retired. Works hard, and would probably be upset with me that I'm using him as an example. Dave Lawrence, another guy who countless hours I spent in the dining hall talking to him, just talking about life. Taught me most of what I know in the kitchen, him and my dad, I guess I'd give equal credit to. And just lots of really good chats about Dave. And he's a guy who I have talked to countless people who would point to him as just a good, quiet example of what it means to love somebody like Jesus. We heard it the other week at the baptism. So many young people saw him in their cabin as a cabin leader and saw that example. The other guy I would think of when I think of camp is Ken Farron. I don't know, for those of you who know him, he is a man who is very intentional and very dedicated to presenting the claims of Christ clearly and directly to any young person who will listen. He has what we call his office at camp, and he just sits under a birch tree and lets kids come, and he'll just talk to them about Jesus. Many, many young people have made a profession of faith with Ken in his office. We see those examples, and I think of this phrase, that they may see your good deeds. I think later in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about fasting, and he talks about prayer, and he talks about giving, and in all three of those circumstances, he says, don't let other people see that you're doing it, because your reward then is with them instead of your Father in heaven. So when you fast between you and your Father. Don't make a big spectacle of it. When you give, give so your right hand doesn't know what your left hand is giving. When you pray, go into the closet, close the door, and pray. Don't pray on the street corners. And I think, well, how do these two things kind of line up? That here at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, where we're told that they may see your good deeds. Do these good deeds so people may see them. And later we're told, no, do them in secret. But as is always the case with Jesus' teaching, especially in the Sermon on the Mount, it's all about our motivation of our heart. Those people who were fasting and praying and giving so others could see, it was because they wanted others to see. Those people who, but here when Jesus is talking about doing these good deeds so that others may see, you're not doing them so others can see, but they're just done and people will catch on. They'll see that. In 1 Peter chapter 2, it says this, "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." Again, as a church, as followers of him in our community, are people seeing our good deeds, seeing how we're involved, seeing how we're positive in our community? Are they seeing that? And can they point to the fact that it's because we are followers of him? Finally, third, for his glory. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We have a toaster at camp. It's this big toaster. It puts through more bread than you think is possible. And it's funny because for years, for decades, they've taken pictures of the kitchen staff, and they always change. Kitchen coordinators change, the cooks change, the staff changes, the surroundings change, but that toaster is in every single one of those pictures. Every single one. They tried for a year to replace that toaster, and it didn't work, and we brought the old toaster back. That toaster, I mean, is one of the most consistent pieces of equipment at camp. A reason I bring up the toaster is every summer, at the beginning of the summer, for one of our first staff devotions, I bring up that toaster. And I bring it up because I say to our staff, and I think it's a good reminder for us, that none of us are irreplaceable when it comes to God's plan. That is because it is only through him that we can serve with any sort of credibility, with any sort of success. And it's not to say that we're not important, say we're incredibly important in God and in the plans that he has for us. And it's a very important thing, I think, to remember when we take on ministry, when we take on tasks, when we try to do these good deeds so that people may glorify our Father in heaven, that we remember it's for His glory. And one of the best ways I've found to remember that is to remember that I am only in the position I'm in because He is choosing to use me in that position. Remember, there was one day I was cooking for St. Vincent's, and I really wanted to put on a good dessert. My wife challenged me, and she said, why do you want to put on that good dessert? And I kind of realized that it was more for my own pride than it was for the actual mission of why I wanted to serve at St. Vincent's in the first place. I think we have to check ourselves often as followers of Him. Are we doing these things for ourselves? Are we doing them so that, you know, it feels nice to be appreciated and maybe to look good? Or are we doing them for His glory? And that's important as we strive to live for Him, as we strive to do these good deeds so that people may see, that they may glorify Him and not us, because it's not about us. I recognize at camp that we are heading into our 65th year next year because of the faithfulness of so many who came before me. Some of those names I know, some of those names I have no idea. But that's the amazing thing, is God uses those people, and then He prepares other people to take the torch to continue on in those ministries, in that mission of camp. So my challenge as we wrap up is I have found a great place to serve at ABK. I am confident that I am where God wants me to be. And that's a really good thing to be able to say. If you're not able to say that, I challenge you to pray, God, where would you have me serve? If you are in that position where you can say that, then pray like, God, let me give you all the glory. I don't want any of this glory for myself. Find those places to serve. Find those places where people can see our good deeds, and as a result of seeing those good deeds, they can glorify our Father in heaven. As a church, I encourage us to be those lights, not just in this building, but in our community, in our neighborhoods, in our families, in our workplaces. Let's pray, and then John will come up with one more song. Father God, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you for the truth that is in it. And God, I just pray that as we strive to follow you, God, that we would do it not for our own glory, but for yours. God, that you would receive all the glory for what we're doing here at Bethel, at camp, in our various ministries. God, I thank you for your love, and I thank you for your Son. It's in His name we pray. Amen.